Hold your Bibles up in the air, wave them in the devil's face. Say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is.
My Bible is.
The Word of God.
The Word of God.
And God's Word.
And God's Word.
Is devil destruction power.
Devil destruction power.
With my Bible.
With my Bible.
I can defeat the devil.
I can defeat the devil.
Every single day.
Every single day.
This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is.
My Bible is.
The Word of God.
The Word of God.
And God's Word.
And God's Word.
Is the revelation.
Is the revelation.
Of His will for my life.
Of His will for my life.
Whatever says I am.
That's what I am.
Whatever says I can do,
I can do it.
Whatever says I have,
I claim it
in Jesus' name. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity we had to hear your word, to teach your word, and to preach your word. Now, Lord, help us to be doers of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Kendall, I saw you up there holding that piece of paper in your hand, but we need to get you a Bible, son. All right. Turn with me to our foundation text. We're going to continue, or this is the last part of this teaching on knowing how to hear God speak. Praise God.
Amen.
This is probably one of the most important things I can teach you that you can learn, because you have to know how to be led by the Spirit of God. You got to know how to hear God talk to you, because you need direction from Him. You need guidance from Him. Quite often we panic because we don't know how to hear from God. So we need to learn how to hear from God if we're going to succeed in the Christian life. Say this with me. Say, I will succeed.
I will succeed.
In the Christian life.
In the Christian life.
Based on.
Based on.
My ability.
My ability.
To hear from God.
To hear from God.
Praise God. John chapter 10 verse 1 through 6. And it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. Say, hear his voice.
Hear his voice.
If you are one of God's sheep, you are supposed to hear his voice. Praise God.
Amen.
If you are one of God's sheep and you tell me, Pastor, I can't seem to hear from God, then that means you're just not listening. But I'm going to talk to you today on how to listen. So it goes on to say, the sheep hear his voice, say, hear his voice.
Hear his voice.
And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth forth before them, and the sheep follow him. Why do they follow him? For they know his voice. Say, know his voice.
Know his voice.
Say, hear his voice.
Hear his voice.
Say, know his voice.
Know his voice.
Now, if you're not following God, then maybe that's one of the reasons why you're not hearing his voice. Praise God. Sometimes God tells us to do something and we don't do it, but we're constantly asking God for new direction, when God is telling you to go back and follow the old direction first. Praise God. So maybe, if you are not hearing the voice of God, maybe you need to go backwards and think about, what is it that God told me before that I am not doing? Praise God.
Amen.
Let's go on. Verse 5. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Praise God.
Amen.
This parable Jesus spake unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. So the thing you need to do is know how to hear his voice, know his voice, and then when you hear his voice and know his voice, you need to know how to follow him. Praise God.
Amen.
If you don't follow him, you will not hear his voice. Amen. Or at least you will not hear his voice until you have followed the first directions that he has given you. I learned quite early in my Christian walk how to begin hearing God's voice. Now, I may have missed it on a number of occasions, but I did learn. And it's because of learning how to hear God's voice, that I'm alive today, that my in-laws are saved today, that I'm here today, praise God.
Amen.
Because I learned how to hear his voice. Again, I haven't been perfect at it. I'm a lot better than I was 30 years ago, but I'm learning and I'm perfecting the art of hearing and listening to God every single day. Amen. But see, that you gotta understand that that takes time and sacrifice. Because if you don't like to pray, and prayer can be difficult on the flesh, I understand that. But if you don't know how to discipline your flesh and get before God and spend time with him, then you will not hear his voice, because not that he doesn't want to speak to you, it's because you will not know his voice, praise God.
Amen.
See, if you put me in a room full of people, maybe 100 people, and my wife called out to me, I can distinguish her voice from the rest of the people, praise God.
Amen.
Because I've been with my wife for over 30 years now, and so I pretty much know her voice. I know her ways. I know her habits. She knows my habits. Some of our habits get on each other's nerves, but that's par for the course in marriage, praise God.
Amen.
If you want a lasting marriage, then you have to learn, you have to recognize, number one thing, when you're going into a marriage, he's probably going to get on my nerves at some point.
Amen.
Some point. He's going to squeeze the toothpaste too many times in the middle of the tube. Right now, I think it's cute. Later on, it might get me upset. Praise God. Oh, he don't like my black-eyed peas. I love him, though. But don't wait 10 years from now. Why don't you like my black-eyed peas? Praise God. But anyway, going back to hearing the voice of God. See, I can distinguish my wife's voice from a crowd of voices because I know her voice. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And you must learn to know the voice of God. I remember some years ago when I was just going to the post office, and as I went into the post office, there was an urgency inside of me that said, you need to go home right now. Now, my intention was to go to the post office and then go right back to work. But the urgency inside of me said, you need to go home right now. It wasn't an audible voice. It wasn't a voice that said, you need to go home right now. It was just something that was inside of me that I knew it. And I've learned, and I have been with the Lord long enough to know how to hear, praise God. So I went home. And when I got home, my wife, who was normally supposed to be at work, I found her in very great distress. And part of the reason why was because my in-laws were driving us crazy. They were involved in this cult. I mean, it was a wild cult where this guy who said Jesus and Buddha appeared to him and told him that he is the third Messiah. Mm-hmm. First of all, Buddha is not a Messiah, praise God. He's dead, and he's still dead. And more than likely, he's in hell. But when you get a vision from Buddha, Jesus and Muhammad telling you you're one of the messiahs, you need to recognize that's from Satan, praise Jesus. Mm-hmm. But so this man began to build a strong following, a large following in Japan, via this strange revelation. And my in-laws were committed disciples of this weird religion. And they were driving my wife nuts. Not so much driving me nuts, because I would just try to ignore it and pray for them, praise God. And I said, I ain't gonna let it stress me out. You know, I'm gonna pray for them. They know where I stand on these things, so praise God. But you know, my wife, she had to work with them every day, because she worked for her father. And so, and the stuff that they do, and the way they cause you to act can drive you up the wall. And then so many things were happening that really was wearing down on her, praise God. And so when I got home, she was in so much distress, and she was having a nervous breakdown. And so so I got in there. She wasn't supposed to be home, neither was I, but I didn't know that she was home, and I didn't know she was going through that. I thank God that I found him just in time. Praise God.
Amen.
And I grabbed her, calmed her down before she did something irrational, like kill herself or something, which I thought she was on the brink of suicide. And after I calmed her down and began to talk with her, I told her, let's pray. And we prayed, and I told her, you've got to learn to make this confession. And I instructed her. What was my instruction to you?
Thank God for victory.
Thank God for victory. That's all. See, you don't have to have this elaborate statement of faith. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Just all I told her, the Lord spoke to me and told me to tell her. Just tell me, thank God for victory. And so she began doing that. She constantly did it. And something happened with this talk where the guy asked all his disciples to come to mainland Japan for a large gathering. And so when they all got there, he locked the doors and wouldn't let nobody out, and had guards on the doors. It was almost like that Jonestown. Yeah, Jonestown thing. What was his name, Brad? I forget his name.
Kool-Aid Man.
Kool-Aid Man. The guy who poisoned everybody with Jim Jones.
Yeah.
And he had him in Guyana. And it was almost a similar situation. Where the first thing the guy announced was, I can have sex with any woman I want. Yeah.
The voice of heaven speak to me, seek whoever I want.
Yeah, he said, the voice of heaven spoke to me, and I can sleep with whoever I want. See, anytime. A so-called man of God tells you he can sleep with anybody he wants to. It's time to hit that door. You hear me? Mm-hmm. If Pastor Troy says that, it's time for you to get up and walk out immediately.
I woke up too.
You're not allowed to walk out. You're supposed to sleep with me through thick and thin, woman. But see, by God's grace, that you will never hear that from your pastor, because I have too much of a fear of God. Amen. I love God. I love him, and I fear him too much. I've seen enough videos about hell and ministers going to hell that made me say, I ain't doing that. Amen. I mean, some of y'all look fine. Y'all can be tempting, but y'all ain't tempting enough for me. Y'all some fine women now. Don't get me wrong. It's just I'm more scared of hell than I am attracted to you. Glory to God. But anyway, this cult leader states that, and then he locks everybody in and wouldn't let nobody out. And they told him that they need for them, in order for them to leave, it was almost like a kidnapping thing. They needed to have your family member send, a certain amount of money or something like that, right?
They wanted more disciples.
Yeah, they want, didn't you tell me that they needed some money or something like that too? Oh, okay, because I remember I said something about I ain't giving nothing. But
were your parents there?
Disciples, they want more money.
Yeah.
Send them more money from other disciples. So make a disciple.
Oh, okay. I see.
Yeah, so
they want money.
So but I knew that they were in danger. And I knew that giving in to terrorists and kidnappers was not the key to help them. So I began to call for our church. I asked my pastor, let's pray for my in-laws. So we began to pray. And so as we were praying, what did she say? Something about that she was able to get out.
She said, if there is a true God, let us escape here. Then they escape.
Amen. So she said, if there is a true God, let us escape. And God opened the door and got them out. Praise God.
Yeah.
Amen. And so... So then, this is kind of a long story, but I'm trying to show you the process of hearing God's voice and what happens, the success that you receive when that happens. Because people that you think are impossible to get saved can get saved if you listen to God.
Amen.
It wasn't too long after that that I bought a book. The Lord led me to buy this book by Dr. Cho, Paul Yonggi Cho, called The Fourth Dimension in Japanese. I bought it specifically for my wife because I wanted, because I said, this woman, she needs to build her faith up.
Amen.
She ain't got as much faith as me. I'm faith man. But I gave it to my wife. She put it on her desk at work, and my father-in-law began to read it. Praise God. And as he began to read it, and he began to share the truth from that book with my mother-in-law, it wasn't too long after that. I think they went to an evangelistic crusade.
No,
they came to church with you. Okay. And they gave their life to Christ then.
Very short time.
Wow.
Amen. So the reason why I'm sharing this story with you is because if you've got family, children that aren't saved, parents that aren't saved, continue to listen to God for his direction. Praise God.
Amen.
And my in-laws are now leaders in the church. Praise God.
Amen.
They are winning people to Christ Jesus. But it was a long and difficult process to get them there. But it was because we continued to listen to God that God was able to bless us. And it's just like, and see, you can't be moved by circumstances. You can't be moved by people's faces and the way they act. If you're going to do that, you can't be in ministry at all. Amen. I remember when I was an associate pastor at another church back in the early 90s, this young, distressed man came into the church. And so, I mean, he was just raggedy. His attitude was nasty, but he was going through some trouble. So, you know, they brought him to the church so that we could minister to him. So then after the service was over, the Lord specifically told me to give him this book. Now I'm looking at the book, I'm looking at this dude, and I'm like, Lord, I don't want to deal with him. But the Lord told me, give him this book. So I like I said, I learned enough to hear God's voice to know better. So I took the book, I said, the Lord told me to give this to you. He took the book, he looked at me like I was strange, and he walked away. I never saw him again until maybe a couple months later when I was at another service at another church where a friend of mine was preaching. And he walks up to me. I didn't know him to save my life because this guy, the person that walked up to me was clean, nice looking, handsome, everything. And he walks up to me, he says, yo, Pastor Troy, you remember me? I said, no. He said, you remember a guy a couple months ago you gave a book to, and he just took it from you and he had a nasty attitude? I said, yeah, I do. That was me. That was you? He said, yep, that was me. He said, let me tell you something, Pastor Troy. He said, whenever the Lord tells you to do something, you do it. He said, because when you gave me that book, he said, at first I thought you was crazy. I said, why are you going to give me something like this with all I'm going through? He said, then I started reading that book. He said, that book changed my life.
Amen.
He said, I'm a new person now.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. And he started living for the Lord. And he started going to church. He didn't come back to our church. I don't know. But praise God! That happens to us a lot, praise God. People come to our church, they get blessed, and then they go somewhere else, and we find them later, and they say, oh, brother, thank you for the blessing you gave me. But why didn't you stay? But praise God. Amen. Let me share one more story with you, then I'm going to share with you a couple of principles. But I remember a friend of mine who came to when we were in Okinawa, and a guy I knew from years before had come to Okinawa with his, and he needed some help to pick up in his family. And so he needed He needed to drive in the van with me because I had a big van at the time. And so he came to me, asked me for his help. I mean, for my help. And so I said, no problem. And I took him, and the Lord told me, he said, don't worry about his face, share the gospel with him. Now, you know, it's hard to do that sometimes, y'all. That's why you got to hear God's voice, because you can't be moved by what people look like and they're acting like. If you don't hear God's voice, the people can say things to you and it'll discourage you. You know the reason why I continue to pastor this church? Because I heard from God. Amen.
Amen.
There's been people who told us we ain't going to make it. But I heard from God, so I know we've made it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory
Amen.
To God. But as I was driving with the guy, I stopped. The Lord told me to feed him. So I took him to God, got him something to eat. But I said, you know what? You and my band, you asked me for help, so you're going to listen to what I got to say. And I told him about Jesus. I shared Jesus with him all the way to the airport. Got him, went, picked up his family, took them all to the hotel. Went to see him a couple days later, thinking that maybe all that I said to him had got through to him. And here he is, when I went to go visit him, he's watching porno movies. So I walked out discouraged. I'm like, you know, gee whiz, you know, Lord, you had me talk to him, waste all my time, and I'm talking to him, and he ain't even, and he's sitting there watching bad movies. And so I saw him off and on after that a few times, but didn't really have a lot of fellowship with him. About 6 years later, I'm going into the post office, didn't even know he was still in Japan. It seemed like the Lord always gives me a post office. But I see him. He's a little more heavy sitting down, but I see him. And he walks up, he says, "Troy!" And he runs over and hugs me, something he never would have done before years ago. I mean, hugged me. I'm like, "Gary, what's going on?" Gary said, "Man, I've been trying to find you for a couple of years now, man." He said, "I just want you to know that I'm saved now."
Hallelujah.
And he says, "I'm serving he's already in Bible school, and he's going to try to become a minister."
Amen.
Amen. So you can't be moved by the way people act. Because if you hear from God, you will not be moved by how they act. Now, don't get me wrong, it's difficult. But you won't be moved if you know you're hearing from God. Mm. Glory to God.
Amen.
Now, how do you go about hearing from God? You got the one of the things, if you're looking for an audible voice, as I told you the past couple weeks, excuse me. If you're looking for an audible voice, you might get one, but it may not necessarily be God. Amen. Because the devil can speak through an audible voice.
Mm-hmm.
And he has spoken through audible voices and have gotten people messed up.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't want necessarily to have to hear an audible voice. If you have to hear an audible voice, that means you're not spending enough time with God. What you have to learn is that God leads you by the Holy Spirit living in your spirit. Glory to God.
Amen.
Now, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to show you a couple of scriptures on this. Thessalonians chapter 5, if you have gone to 1st or 2nd Timothy, you've gone too far. First Thessalonians chapter 5, let's begin with verse 23. It says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." Say wholly. "And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, man is a composite of three things. You are a spirit, a soul, and a body. Praise God.
Amen.
Listen to me. How many of y'all have been to funerals? I've been to a number of funerals, preached a couple of them. Not my favorite thing to do. Love to do weddings, hate doing funerals. But when you become a pastor, you got to do some of both. You have to do some things you don't really want to do. And I don't ever want to do a funeral for a little child, praise God.
Amen.
Amen. But at the funeral, you see a body in a coffin. I want you to know that person's not there. Amen.
Amen.
I know everybody sitting there crying. I'm gonna miss you. They ain't there. You kissing all on that body. But the person is not there. That is only their body, praise God.
Yes.
Sometimes we go to the graves and we go talking to people.
You know, Mom, yesterday I took Junior to the park and we played baseball.
Mom can't hear you. She ain't there. Amen. Mm. If she's there and she can hear you, she probably suffocated. Get me out of this place! So, Mom is not there. See, when you die, you go to one of two places, praise God. Mm-hmm. Your spirit and your soul go to one of two places. It goes to either heaven. If you come to know Jesus, your spirit will go to heaven to be with him. If you don't know Jesus, your spirit and soul will go to the other place. A very, very hot place. A place where God is not there. A place where demons will torment you day and night, forever and ever. Praise God. So, the reason why this is important is because the Holy Spirit resides in your spirit. Praise God.
Amen.
See, Kenneth Hagin used to say, I don't know if I can say it the way Kenneth Hagin said it, but he said that many people spend many hours developing their body. You know, we got gym, and it's good. It's a good thing, praise God. You need to take care of your body. Your body's the temple of the Lord. So you need to take care of your body. But we spend a lot of time developing our body, lifting weights, jogging, you know, trying to look masculine like I am, you know. Anyway, with my 12-pack. Some of them gluten-free donuts been taking, putting a little too much gluten on me. But praise God. But we try to develop our bodies through gym and eating and stuff like that. We try to develop our minds, and nothing wrong with that, through our education. We go to school, we go to college, we study to develop our minds. Those two are good things. However, very little is done trying to develop the spirit. Very little is done. And a lot of times because we don't know how, or we just don't want to take the time because the body and the mind seem to take priority over our spirit man. But yet the spirit man is the most important part of you because that is the part of you that connects you to God. Praise God.
Amen.
See, when you were born again, how many of y'all are born again here today?
Amen.
Now, when you were born again, when you first went to the altar, if some of you were like me, you were crying.
Oh, Jesus, I love you, my Savior.
And you felt good, didn't you? Didn't some of y'all feel good? I felt good. But you know something? Not one physical aspect of me changed, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
I was still handsome and beautiful. I was handsome and beautiful before I got saved. I was handsome and beautiful afterwards. Praise God. Some people were, hey, who questioned that? How dare you question your pastor? Your pastor always speaks the truth with integrity. But there are some people who were mean and ugly before they got saved, and they got saved and they were nice, but still ugly after they got saved. Well, it depends on how you beauty is in the eye of the beholder. But what I'm trying to say is that your physical appearance did not change after you gave your life to Christ, praise God. But you knew something on the inside of you was different, amen. There was something you just knew that now, something I did not have a connection with God before, now I seem to have this connection with him now. That's because your spirit was born again. When we say you are born again, that is your spirit that was born again. Jesus said, that which is of flesh is flesh, but that which is of the spirit is spirit. So your spirit part of you became born again. Normally, if I had a chalkboard, I would draw you a circle, and there's three circles inside. There's your spirit, your soul, and your body. Now, what is the difference between a soul and a spirit, you might be asking? Aren't they the same thing? No, they're not. Your soul and your spirit are different. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, let's look at that real quickly. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. This is important because you need to know how to develop your spirit, man, so that you can hear from God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit." Let's stop right there. The Bible makes a division or a distinction between your soul and your spirit. Your soul is where your mind, your will, and your emotions are contained. Praise God.
Amen.
So this brain is not your mind. This brain only contains your mind. See, when you die, the brain's still going to be in your body. Praise God. Mm-hmm. See, I trip out on them science fiction movies. You know, I love science fiction, but I trip out on them, you know, time travel and some of the ones where the man is dead. So they cut his brain out. They put it into a new body, and all of a sudden the guy comes back alive and with all his memories intact, and he's like, "What am I doing in this new body?" He's either in an android body or something like that. Well, in real life, that will never work. That will never work because his mind, once he's dead, he's either in heaven or in hell. Praise God. Cutting his brain out is not going to work. What was you going to ask, Ray?
So your soul is like your spirit brain? Like the brain of your spirit?
Yeah, you can pretty much say that. Yeah. Yeah. The way it's always been taught to me has been, your mind is not necessarily your brain. You know, I'm not a scientist, so I don't know how to explain it scientifically, but your mind basically is an invisible part of you that when you're gone, if you read Luke chapter 16, for example, you will see that the story of the rich man and Lazarus, they both had memories of what was going on before they left. The man remembered his brothers, he remembered his family, but his brain was still going into the grave with him. So he didn't lose his brain, he didn't lose his mind. He may have lost his physical brain, but the mind is a part of you. The brain only helps your mind to function in this physical realm, praise God.
Amen.
So the brain, just like your body, helps your spirit to function in this physical realm. The brain helps your mind and your will and your emotions to focus, to function in this invisible realm. When you die, you will still have your emotions. When you die, you will still have the power of choice. Even in heaven, you will still have the power of choice, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
The good thing about heaven is you just ain't gonna wanna do some of the stuff that you used to do down here because you won't be in the flesh anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So you won't have the battles anymore. How many of y'all looking forward to going to heaven?
Mm.
I know I'm going. I'm just about tired of this flesh. My flesh still wants to do stuff that I ain't supposed to be doing. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. My flesh still wants to slap people sometimes, and I know I shouldn't. I forgive him, Jesus. Hand, get down. But the thing is that your mind, your will, your emotions, and your spirit are the invisible part that nobody else can see.
Mm.
That when you depart from this life, all these things will still exist. There is no such thing as soul sleep. Don't believe the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Seventh Day Adventists, or any of these other people that tell you that when you die, you're like a dog, you're dead. No, you will go to one or two places. Your soul and your spirit continues to exist and continues to function, praise God.
Amen.
So in order to understand that, in order to understand how to be led by God, you have to learn to develop the spirit part of you. Amen.
Amen.
Now look at Romans chapter 8. A book that I would recommend that I think would be very helpful to you is a book by Kenneth E. Hagen Sr. called How to Be Led by the Spirit of God. It is an excellent book. I used to listen when back when we listened to cassette tapes, you know, that was, you know, years ago. You young people don't know nothing about that. Y'all got y'all CDs and your MP3s now. And your iPods and iPhones and all that stuff. What did I tell you? Romans? Yeah, Romans chapter 8. Let's look at verse 14. And it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Praise God. Amen. It's the same thing that Jesus was saying in John chapter 10. "My sheep hear my voice." Paul just put it a different way. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Remember, we told you last week, it's the Holy Spirit who leads you and guides you. Praise God. Amen. And it goes on to say, "For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." That's daddy. See, when you have the Holy Spirit, you can call God daddy. Praise Jesus. Amen. He's your papa. Amen. The Spirit, now verse 16. What I really want to get to, the Spirit himself. I don't like that word itself. I don't know why they translated that word that way. The Holy Spirit is not an it. Praise God. Amen. Say, the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit
is not an it.
It's not
him. He's a him.
He's a him.
Amen. So the Holy Spirit, I don't want an it living inside of me. How about you? That scares me. I've seen movies when I was a kid called It. And it was a monster from the deep. So I'd rather have a him. So the Holy Spirit himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Say this with me. Say, the Holy Spirit,
bears witness
with my spirit. See, that's how you're going to hear from God. You will hear from God by hearing the Holy Spirit bearing witness with your spirit. Praise God. Amen. That's what some charismatics like to call the inner witness or the inward witness. See, it's when the Holy Spirit is in your spirit talking to you. But remember, it's within your spirit. Praise God.
Amen.
Not within your flesh. Not even necessarily within your brain. Now, of course, the Holy Spirit and your spirit works with your mind to help you hear from God. But it's not going to necessarily be an audible voice. That's why you must develop your spirit part of you. You must develop the spirit man part of you so that you will be trained to hear from God. Because the Holy Spirit will bear witness with your spirit. Say, with my spirit.
With my spirit.
So while you are developing your body, while you're going to the gym and lifting them weights and them dumbbells and all the other stuff, and while you're going to school and reading all those books, develop your spirit. Praise God.
Amen.
You develop your spirit simply by staying in this book, because the Holy Spirit will never give you a witness that contradicts this book. And you develop your spirit by spending time with your Father. Praise God.
Amen.
If you have an intimate relationship with the Father, then the Holy Spirit is easier to discern his voice in your spirit. I'm going to show you two more scriptures and we'll close out. Let's look at Mark chapter 2. I want you to see something that happened with Jesus one time. Mark chapter 2. Let's look at verse 8. You can read the whole story on your own. We don't have time to get into that. But I just want you to see what happened with Jesus in a certain situation. It says, immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit, say, perceived,
perceived
in his spirit, Notice that Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves. He said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Praise God.
Amen.
Now Jesus knew that they were discussing, you know, what happened in the background. Jesus just healed a man who was, or told a man that he forgave, that his sins were forgiven. Praise God.
Amen.
And they were all ticked off. Wow, how can a man tell somebody else their sins are forgiven? Only God can do that. Now, obviously, Jesus didn't hear them talking about it. They must have been saying it quietly because they were scared. You know how some of y'all be talking about pastors sometimes? No, I'm just kidding. But obviously, they were gossiping amongst themselves, but Jesus perceived in his spirit. Praise God.
Amen.
And so, he was able to question them because the Spirit of God in his spirit told him what was going on. Amen.
Amen.
And that's how I know some things, even though I don't always say them or talk about them. I know certain things that may be going on amongst people, and I'm not usually not surprised. Sometimes I am shocked, but sometimes I'm not, because I've learned to develop my spirit so I can perceive certain things sometimes. Amen.
Amen.
So, but you got to learn to perceive in your spirit. You got to learn to let the Spirit of God give you a witness in your spirit of things that are going on. It's kind of like a red light, a traffic light in your spirit. Sometimes you just know not to go in a certain direction. Praise God. Sometimes you just know not to do a certain thing. If your conscience is bothering you, that is also the voice of the Spirit. Praise God. If you know, if somebody's telling you, hey, let's go down and let's go get some chicken wings from JoJo's, and you got something saying, no, don't go, you need to listen to that. Praise God. Many people have avoided accidents by listening to that. Many people have gotten themselves into bad situations because they didn't listen to that. One time, a woman, she was jogging on her regular route every day, and she said that she was jogging, and she heard something in her telling her, don't go down that route today. But she said, that's my normal route, so I'm going to go. And she almost heard like a scream, don't go down there today. But she said, I'm going to go. So she went, some guy jumped out of the bushes, grabbed her, and raped her. Now, the Holy Spirit began to say, you didn't listen to me, but I'm going to let you live through this. The guy could have killed her, but only thing he did was rape her, and then he took off. But see, you can avoid things like that. Many of the things that we get ourselves into is because we don't listen to the Holy Spirit. Praise God.
Amen.
Many of the dangers that we put ourselves in is because the Holy Spirit is telling us, don't go in that direction, and we're not listening to him. Amen. So, many of you have gone through this. Many of you have heard this voice, and you listened to it, and you didn't go. But many of you have heard something, you knew you weren't supposed to do it, and you did it anyway, and it caused you all kinds of trouble. It didn't. How many of y'all have been through that? I can raise both hands and all my feet if I could. I have done it. And I've, as a Christian, as a minister, I've heard the voice, and I decided to do things my way, and I got in trouble. Praise God. Now, let's look at one more passage of scripture. Are you learning anything?
Yes.
Praise God.
Amen.
Let's look at Acts chapter 27. An incident with Paul. If I was to teach on this thoroughly, it would take me a number of weeks. That's why I encourage you to get the book by Brother Hagin. Most of the stuff I'm giving you today, I learned from him. I probably use some different scriptures, but the principles I'm teaching you, I have to give him the, I have to give God the glory, but give God the glory for using that man to teach me what I'm teaching you right now. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Why reinvent the wheel? If a man of God is taught something good, you just teach it. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Acts 27. Start at verse 9. Let me just read this to you. This this will help you as you read this. This will help you to watch out when you're going on airplanes and stuff like that. Because if God tells you don't go on an airplane, don't do it. Praise God. Verse 9 says, now when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them. Verse 10, he says, and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage, say perceive. I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phinehas, and there to winter, and there an haven of Crete, and hath toward and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. And not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. And when they had taken up, they used helps, understanding the ship and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, straight sail, and so were driven. And we, being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the lackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, in other words, fasting, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have listened to me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. Now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Praise God.
Amen.
All right, we'll stop right there. The fact is, Paul did not hear an audible voice from God. God didn't speak down from heaven and say, Paul, tell them that the ship is going to be shipwrecked and they're going to die if they do this. No, Paul perceived in his spirit, praise God. If the Apostle Paul and if our Lord Jesus Christ had to hear from God that way, are we better than our master? Are we better than one of the greatest apostles that ever walked this earth?
No.
No. Then if Jesus had to hear from God that way, and Paul had to hear from God that way, you and I have to learn to hear from God that way. Praise God.
Amen.
We can't expect special revelation from God. We can't expect God to do it differently for us than he did it for Paul and he did it for Jesus. A lot of people don't know how to hear from God because they don't know how to develop the spirit part of them. They don't even know that they are a spirit. They don't realize that there's a division between the body, the soul, and the spirit. Praise God.
Amen.
If you learn the spirit man inside of you is the one that is where the Holy Spirit resides, and that's how you when you were born again, that was what changed about you, then you will understand that that is where you have to develop in order to hear from God. It all depends on how desperate you are to hear from God and to have an intimate relationship with God. See, you got to do this now before a crisis or an emergency comes up. Praise God.
Amen.
A lot of people, they want to hear from God only when they are going through a crisis. God, speak to me, please. All the time. You have not taken the time to develop your spirit. And now, when a crisis comes up, you want to hear from God. Do this while things are calm. Do this while you are having a great time in the Lord. Do this while you're getting blessed, so that when crises do come up, then you will be able to hear God's direction. Praise God.
Amen.
I mean, I remember when I was in Japan, and we were in a crisis situation where we was about to lose a house, and we couldn't find another house. And my wife worked in a real estate office, and we still couldn't find another house. And I And I told them, I want a specific kind of house. I told God, I said, God, I need a house with 3 bedrooms because I need an office for my ministry. I want a large living room and a nice kitchen with 2 sinks. Well, we looked at all kinds of houses. We almost set up for an apartment. And because we were desperate, we almost took that apartment. But the Holy Spirit in my spirit said, no, don't you dare. You asked me for something specific, believe me for it. So I told my wife, I said, even if they throw us out in the streets, I got to believe God. So we waited, and then God, I'll make a long story short, God brought the house to us, praise God.
Amen.
Exactly what we wanted at the rent that we wanted, praise God. It was a higher rent, they reduced it for us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
That car we got outside, that nice, black, beautiful Mazda, 2015, and it's still 2014. I got a 2015 Mazda. Hallelujah.
Future.
That's right. I got a future car. But just a couple of months ago, and this is might be my last story, and I'm gonna close out. But I'm telling y'all this because y'all need to learn how to hear from God. While me and my wife were car searching, car shopping, and my wife, she wanted the Mazda CX-3, the little car. Because she didn't think we could afford the Mazda CX-5. And the Spirit of God told me, he said, you need to stop looking at how much you can afford and start asking me for what you want. Do you want the CX-3 or the CX-5? I said, Lord, I want the CX-5. He said, then believe me for that. So we got to the car deal place. And we drove both the CX-3 and the CX-5. And so I told them I wanted the CX-5. They kept bringing back these prices that we know we could not pay. And so they gave us the price for the CX-3, and we could afford those, but every time I looked at it, it was a churning in my spirit. So the guy said, well, why don't we go outside and look at the CX-3s? So then I was about to give in, told my wife, I said, just pick the color that you want. I was mad. And so, you know, we looked at a couple of colors, but then the Lord told me, he didn't speak to me. He didn't really say anything. I just felt this in my spirit. So I told the salesman, I said, I can't buy anything today because this is not what I wanted. I said, can I come? I said, we'll come back tomorrow. He said, all right. And as soon as we said that, somebody had pulled that 2015 right off the truck and drove it right in front of us. And I said, that's the one I want. Can you make it happen for me? And he said, well, let's go back to the office. So we sat down in the office. His manager came over and said, Troy wants that CX-5 that just came off the truck. He said, all right. He went to his office. He came back with some prices. They were prices I could afford, praise God.
Amen.
And so I said, this is what I was waiting for, praise God. And not only that, it was a 2015 CX-5. We were going to settle for a 2014 CX-5 with payments we couldn't even afford. But we got a 2015 CX-5, brand new, not even 1 mile on it. And it was payments we could afford, praise God.
Amen.
Why? Because we learned to listen to the inner witness, praise Jesus.
Amen.
You learn to listen to the inner witness, and God will bless you spiritually as well as materially. You know God wants to bless his people materially.
Yeah.
Now, we're not talking about hyper-prosperity. We're not talking about you getting mansions and limousines and all that stuff. Now, that's what God wants you to have, praise God. I'm not against that. But what I'm talking about is we're not preaching the gospel of greed. We're telling you that God wants to bless you, and he wants to bless you even with the best. But don't get greedy. Your blessing is to be for somebody else. Amen. We give people rides to church in that car. Hey, hallelujah. We don't say, hey, this is a brand new car, you stink, get out. we let children ride in that car to church. Praise Jesus. Amen. So God knows we're going to use it for his glory. And that's what God wants you to do. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Did you learn anything today?
Amen.
I know I kept you a little longer than I usually do, but I think you needed to learn this. And besides that, I don't want to have to preach any more about this next week. So stand to your feet.